Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we believe, Lord, that all things are possible because you're here. Lord, we just commit ourselves unto thee. We pray you take a hold of our lips and our hearts, Lord, that we might hear from thee today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, in continuing from Brother Branham's sermon, the spoken words, the original seed, we'll pick up at paragraph 83, where Brother Branham said, all of God's sons must be the same. Yes, sir, to be born of the Word and Spirit brings us back to the spoken word again, like in John 3. See, to be born of water and of Spirit, what does it do? Then it brings you right back again unto the place where you should have been at the beginning. See, that's the reason of Christ's death. It brings us right back again to where sons of God, if Eve would have been brought forth that child, she would have finally done it. Did not God tell her, multiply and replenish the earth? But she had to walk over here to play the part of the whore. You just say, that's flat, Brother Branham, but wait just a minute. Just wait a little bit. We'll get into that in a little bit. See, you say it can't be. Well, we'll just find out whether the Word says it or not. See, then it's right. They're not. It's not hid. If it is hid, it's hid from those who's lost. See, that's right. See, now this brings you back to the spoken Word. Then we are God's Word made manifest. See, Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth on me, the things that I, who I am, what I came for, and the purpose I do, to bring a man back to believe the Word of God and take nothing else with it, the works that I do, he will do also. There you are. Why is it not being done today? It's hybrid, bastard children, mixed up. It's a mule. It don't know what it believes. A mule don't know who his daddy is, who his mama is. He don't. He's no pedigree. There's nothing to him. He's an illegitimate creature. That's the way any person that claims to believe God and don't believe his word will take a denominational creed and breed it with the word. See, you're not of God. You're dead. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. So even the word of God don't even grow. You're just playing the part of a hypocrite. Let that go for bishop, priest, cardinal, or whoever it might be. That's right. It's got to be the word or you're dead. Just an illegitimate child and God's word. God part won't grow. You might grow in the same field as we're getting to directly, but you're sure not in the fold. It won't grow. All right. Now notice, we either spoken word, then we are God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church to be made manifest himself. Then we're God's word made manifest. That's how God wants his church, is to manifest himself. How can he manifest himself unless his own seed is in that person? How can you use your own thoughts and God manifest himself through you? How can you take your own belief and say, well, my pastor teaches, my creed says that this day is miracles. How are you going to do that and then be a manifested son of God? How are you going to do it? The death of Jesus wasn't nothing to you. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. No, you don't. You say you do, but you don't. Your works proves what you are. Jesus said the same thing. If you think I am illegitimately born, they said, we're Abraham's son. I need nobody to teach us. He said, well, if you was Abraham's children, you'd know me. See? Said, which one of you can condemn me of unbelief? Show me one thing that God promised of me that ain't fulfilled. Show me one thing that the Father promised that I haven't fulfilled. Sin is unbelief. Well, let's see you produce it then. That dehorned them. See? Certainly said, who's accusing me? Who can condemn me of sin, of unbelief? See? If I don't believe, then why is the Father doing through me like he's doing? Every word that he promised. Now, let me see where you got it in yours. So, Brother Branham is really, really hammering the denominations here. He's saying, look, if you got anything from God, produce it or shut up. That's what he's saying. He's saying, we're producing it because we've got it. You're not producing because you don't have it. Now, what Brother Branham is telling us here is that we're ordained to reflect the image of the original seed. And that could not be possible unless we have the life that was in the original seed, in that firstborn seed. For if we have the life, then we must have the nature. For the two are one in the sense that the nature of the life is the reflected attributes and manifestations, characteristics of the life that's in the seed. So let's look closer this morning at these words Brother Branham's telling us as we read them this morning. Because it all begins back before the foundations of the world. As the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that God chose us in him before the foundations of the world. And if we were in him, then we shared the God life that was in him also. For the law of life says that every seed must produce after its own kind. Now, if you turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'd like to read from verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that Jesus has both a God and Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's going to tell us something about this God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, who, notice he's still talking about the one who is both God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who, God, the Father Jesus, hath blessed us. So he's speaking of us here. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now what or who is this Christ that we're reading of here? Now always remember when you see the word Christ, it comes from the root word krio, which means anointing, and therefore either speaks of the one who is doing the anointing or the one who is being anointed. He's not speaking of Jesus, the Son of God here, for we were not in Jesus, the Son of God, before the foundations of the world began, or Jesus as our, he wouldn't be our older brother, he'd be our father, and then God would be our grandfather. You see? So we were in God before the foundations of the world. And we know that God is not a grandfather. He doesn't have grandchildren. Therefore, this Christ that we were in before the foundation of the world is Christ the Anointer, which is God himself. And it was while we were in him that he chose us, which means that he selected us out to be holy and without blame. Notice verse 4. According as he, God, hath chosen us in him, or himself, that is speaking of God, before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, or in his presence. Now, in the beginning, we know that God was the Word. So we should be holy and without blame in the presence of the Word. Now, notice then, the next thought that Paul tells us here in Ephesians 1 and 5, he says, in love, having predestinated us. That means it was his love that set forth and ordained our destiny before we were even sent into the world. And I love that because notice he set forth our adoption even while we were still in him. And the reason why he did this, Paul tells us, according to the good pleasure of his own will. You know, God wants more for you to be adopted than you want yourself. He planned it. He purposed it. He predestinated it before the foundations of the world. So God loved you even before you came into this world, and he set forth your adoption because it was pleasing to him to do so. Then it has nothing to do with you or with anything else that you can do, but it's totally God doing it. And you have no say in it whatsoever, except for just to be obedient sons. He says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he hath, notice hath is past tense, it's already a done deal. And what is already a done deal? Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You see, by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes our sins are forgiven. By his stripes he did it all. See? So when you pray, hold back the sacrifice before him. Father, I come in the name of your son Jesus. I come under the blood of your son Jesus. You see? You want to be heard? Then go through the blood. Go through the proper channel. All right? Notice what he's already done. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That word beloved was translated from the Greek word agape, which we recognize as divine love. But this is not speaking of an adverb here, but it's speaking of a group of people. Those that are beloved, which means those that are loved. Loved by whom? Those that are loved by God. So we see here in Ephesians that before the foundations of the world, we were in God's very mind and purpose. But then we're told that he had a plan, and that plan was to give us birth, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Then the plan laid out how that we are to be ordained to the adoption of sons. Now to be adopted, you must first be a son, born into the family. Then you are raised up to know the mind of your father, and if you pass the test and have the mind of the father, then you're taken up to a high place and dressed in a special robe, and before all, you're adopted or placed into the family into a role that you were ordained to be placed in before the foundations of the world. Notice in Romans 8, in verse 28, the Apostle Paul tells us that the image of the firstborn son is the image that we are to be ordained to come into. Why? Because that is a pattern for all sons that will be adopted into the family and placed into their roles in that family. Notice verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See? You see Ephesians 1. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, that's also Ephesians 1. predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he called. When did he call you? Before the foundations of the world. Ephesians 1. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also, past tense, has glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not be also freely given us all things? You see? Well, that takes us to Romans 12. And Paul tells us in Romans 12 that before we can be transformed into the image of the firstborn son, he stated, as he stated in chapter 8, we must be transformed in our minds first. Excuse me. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So look, Jacob wanted the birthright. But Jacob was not the firstborn, although they tussled to see who could be firstborn, but his brother being stronger than he, even in the womb, he came forth first. But he knew that Jacob knew it did not belong to him. But he knew that he could receive the blessing of the Father if he could present himself as the firstborn son. You see, there was a condition to be met in order to receive the blessing from the Father. He had to put on the firstborn son. So Jacob dressed like Esau. Jacob had to feel like Esau. You know, when Isaac felt him, he had to have the hairy arms like Esau. He had to sound like Esau. And he had to smell like Esau. And so he changed himself to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That there was only one thing that he had left to do, and that was he had to come in the name of the firstborn son and receive the blessings, in order to receive the blessings for the firstborn son. Then after all that he could, excuse me, after all that, he could freely come into the presence of the Father, and he was assured of receiving the Father's blessing. Now, we must put on Christ. We must smell like him, talk like him, think like him, act like him. You see? You say, well, how did Jacob act like Esau? Well, he made his father's favorite porridge. You know, the deer stew or whatever it was. You know, that was an action. All right? And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 13 and 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for this flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, he said, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. But the transformation we go through about by the renewing of the mind, it must be the mind of Christ that we're renewed to. And this renewing of the mind is for the purpose of reflecting the perfect will of God. Therefore, our perfection cannot come outside the perfect will of God. And we were commanded by Jesus to be perfect, even as his Father was perfect. Matthew 5:48, and be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, the only way that would be possible is for God to give us his mind, and thus to reveal us his will, that we might do his will. And we could never receive his mind unless first we receive his spirit. So God gives us his spirit that we might put on the mind of Christ. That is why Jesus prayed that we might be made one, a perfect in one, and that one is God himself. That is the only way that then our perfection will come, is through the very mind of the Father revealed to us and in us and through us. So you see this morning that the only way that we can be conformed to the image of God's only begotten Son is to become conformed to the Word of God. The word conformed in the Greek means to shape the nature, which is to develop the character. Therefore, when we are to be conformed to the image of his Son, we will have our nature and thus our character changed, and the character of God himself will take over our mortal body, bringing us into a oneness with God and his word. That's what Jesus prayed in John 17. Brother Brad told us that the oneness which God had with Jesus was through his word. And that's how he and Jesus became one. And that can only come if you have representation with him to begin with. If you did not, then something is going to take you out of this place. And if you did not have representation in God to begin with, you were not chosen in him to begin with, and you are not a part of him, and then you will not inherit his name, nor will you be adopted as his sons. In John 17 and verse 11, Jesus says, And now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world, and I am come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And so we ask the question, how might we be one? Even as, which means in the same manner that Jesus and his Father were one. And in verse 14, he says, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So Jesus tells us that we become one with God through the same word that he became one with God. Therefore, it is very evident and apparent that we are one by receiving the same word which brings us into the same glory or the same mind as the Father. And the glory which thou gavest me, remember, glory is doxa, and it is the opinion, assessment, and judgment. So the opinion thou gavest me, I have given them, he says, that they may be one, even as we are one. So it is receiving the very opinion, the very values of God, the very judgment of God, that we become one with him. From the harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. Not for some man to be over something, it never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, one man over the other, but that you might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting him. That's his prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind, but that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all, that we might be congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. Thus, we come into the image of the firstborn Son of God. Notice John 17 and verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And how was he and the Father one? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. You see? And so Jesus then reflected that Word. He manifested that Word, which is God. Now, that takes us to John 17, 23. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world mayest know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and as thou hast loved me. So I ask the question, what brings forth this love into manifestation? Only the Word can do it. He said, Father, I will that they also, which whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So how does the love that was with Jesus come into us? He says, by the declaration of his word, and by the declaration of that name. Now the resurrection effect has come upon us in this hour as sons and daughters of God. We know that God raised up Jesus from the dead, and Paul said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it be in you, then it will also quicken your mortal body. Without the resurrection of our brother Jesus, we know that the very God life that was in him would not have been released from his body to come back upon us, and therefore we would have no hope of immortality, and in fact no hope of our coming into the image of our Father. Now God, that has been prophesied through the scriptures to take place in our bodies in this last days. Jesus told us himself in John 16, verse 17, It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So we see the necessity of the death, burial, and resurrection of our brother Jesus to open the way that the very God life that dwelt in him might come back upon us. And the sons of God all around the world are learning to walk in the role that God has ordained for us to walk. And for that, we are coming into the image of the firstborn son, as Paul spoke of in Romans 8. So God has come down in this hour with a shout, which is a message to prepare his Omega masterpiece, and we are that masterpiece, sons and daughters of God, coming into the image of the firstborn son, and in coming into that image of God, God has begun our journey by faith into the doctrine of Christ, and then as we walk in the light, he takes us, takes us to the place of love, true, genuine, Holy Ghost-filled love, not a pretentious, Lord bless you kind of love, but a genuine love that you can pray for those who despitefully use you. Eternal life is living for others. When you have an attitude that you don't want to be bothered, then you're not reflecting eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. And there is only one form of eternal life, and that is God's own life, and God is love. And love covers a multitude of sin. Now, the Apostle Paul told us that no matter what we had from God, if we did not have love, then everything else is useless. He said, if we have all mysteries, it's useless. If we have all knowledge, it's useless. If we have all faith, it's useless, unless we have love. He lets us know that love is the essential element in our Christian experience that ties everything together and brings us into maturity. And in our day, we have a prophet of God, vindicated by God himself, that said the same thing from the Message Rejected King. He said, I heard a voice that spoke to me that was in the room. He said, this is what you preached was the Holy Ghost. This is perfect love, and nothing can enter here without it. I am more determined than ever in my life that it takes perfect love to enter there. There was no jealousy. There was no tiredness. There was no death. No sickness could never be in there. Mortality could never make you old. They could not cry. It was just one joy, oh, my precious brother. And they took me up and set me up on a great high place. And I thought, I am not dreaming. I'm looking back at my body laying there down on the bed. And they set me up there, and I said, oh, I shouldn't set up here. And here come women and men from both sides in the bloom of youth screaming. And one woman was standing there, and she screamed, oh, my precious brother, and we were so happy to see you. And I said, I don't understand this. And then that voice that was speaking from above me said, you know it is written in the Bible that the prophets were gathered with their people. And I said, yes, I remember that in the scripture. Said, why, this is when you will gather with your people. I said, then they'll be real, and I can feel them. Oh, yes, I said. But there's millions. There's not many, that many Branhams. And that voice said, they're not Branhams, they're your converts. That's the ones that you led to Christ, to the Lord. And said, some of them women here that you think are so beautiful were better than 90 years old when you led them to the Lord. No wonder they're screaming, our precious brother. And they screamed all at once, and if you hadn't have went, we wouldn't have been here. And finally, from Christ is a mystery, Brother Bram said, Hebrews 11, they could not be perfect without us. Hands and feet cannot be perfect without the brains, the knowledge, and the head, and so forth. See? And we're all perfected in Him. So by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, free from judgment, passed from sin unto death. Amen. God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Do you love Him? I love Him, and I love Him because He first loved me. What did He do? He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Notice the people cried out and they said, Brother Branham, we wouldn't have been here if you hadn't have come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that there is a role for each of us to play. And Father, when we know our role, we must step into it. For we know that had Moses not stepped into the waters would not have parted. Had Jesus, your Son, not stepped forth into His role at Gethsemane, there would be no one to save us. And so, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opening of Your word. We thank You for Your message, Father. And we pray that You give us the energy, the strength to go forward, to be stewards and to be witnesses of this great calling. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee.
And give thee peace.